This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I wanted to take this opportunity to do an explanation of two books in Sahih al-Bukhari. The first book is Kitab al-Marda, the book of patients, meaning those who are sick. And the second book is the book of medicine, Kitab al-Tib. There are a number of reasons why I want to do this. The first reason is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, when he would give a khutbah and make an important address, he would say, we are all familiar with it. We hear it often, especially in the Jummah khutbah. But part of that khutbatul hajah is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, "Wa khayr al-hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam." The best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, if we are going to get through this difficulty, this time of uncertainty that we are currently facing, then we are going to need guidance. And here we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's his guidance. So what does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about sickness and illness? What does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about medicine and seeking treatment? And these are two books, I don't want to call them chapters, because Sahih al-Bukhari has more than 90 books in it, and every book has then further chapters, and there are ahadith in every chapter. So that's the first reason, because we are in need of guidance, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that the best guidance is his guidance. And in addition to that, the ayat in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that you have an excellent example, a beautiful example in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those ayat that tell us to follow him and to obey him. So we can only do that if we are studying the sunnah, which brings me to my second point. The second point is that Sahih al-Bukhari is the most authentic book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of its just the level of scholarship that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala brought to bear on his compilation, the level of authenticity, the many years that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah took to compile, to check, to double check. He took all of these precautions. He followed all of the most stringent conditions in compiling this book. So this is why the ulama of hadith have this view, the specialists in the field, the experts of Sahih al-Bukhari as being the most authentic book after the book of Allah, the Quran. So if we are going to seek guidance, we need to seek the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And secondly, we need to make sure that the guidance that we are going to seek is the most authentic, verified, authenticated by Imam al-Bukhari and all of his peers that investigated. Let's think of it this way. In academic circles, the best article or paper that you could that you could publish is one that has been peer reviewed. So other people, other experts in the field, professors and doctors, etc., have looked at your research, have looked at your contribution to academia and to the intellectual world, and they've verified your contribution, and they agree with what you have produced. So the fact that Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah's contemporaries, the fact that even those who might have had even a disagreement with Imam al-Bukhari on other issues, whether they be theological or even personal, that did not affect their view of his book as being an amazing a compilation of authentic ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we'll get right into the book Kitab al-Marda, the book of the sick or of patients, and we'll say that Imam al-Bukhari says Kitab al-Marda, and the word Marda is the plural of the word Marid. That is anyone who is currently ill, regardless of the level and the severity of the illness. Then he says, بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي كَفَّارَةِ الْمَرِيضِ, chapter, that sickness is an expiation for sins. So yeah, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah is going to quote six hadith in which he would prove or he would provide evidence for his chapter heading. His chapter heading is that sickness is an expiation for sins. So what is the evidence for that statement? From the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But before he mentions those six ahadith, he says, وَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجَزَى بِهِ. This is ayah number 123 of Surah An-Nisa. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever commits a sin, then he will be recompensed for it. So what we understand from this is that any calamity or illness that affects us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a reason for the expiation and the wiping away of our sins. So Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah quotes this ayah, and he does this in many, many places in Sahih al-Bukhari. So we'll have the book, then you'll have a chapter heading. He'll quote ayat from the Quran or other ahadith that perhaps did not meet his particular criteria for including it in the, the actual, Sahih ahadith that he intended to narrate. But he'll mention the hadith, or he'll mention a statement of a sahabi or a tabi'i or someone other than them. So his first hadith is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. She says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no calamity befalls a Muslim but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expiates some of his sins because of it, even though it were the prick he received. So we find that in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that any calamity, and a calamity is anything that causes you harm, anything that is difficult for you to bear. It could be an illness, it could be a financial difficulty, it could be an emotional difficulty, whatever it might be. This is a reason for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to expiate your sins. So the question that we should ask ourselves is that, does this mean that the reward or the expiation of the sins because of the calamity, because of the illness, because of the sickness, has to be combined with satisfaction or contentment with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, and that a person should show sabr and have sabr? Or is the mere fact that the calamity has happened to you, you have fallen ill, you have not yet reached that stage where you have sabr, you are patient, you are forbearing? And Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, in his commentary on this hadith, he says that no, the hadith is clear and explicit that the mere fact that you get sick, the mere fact that you have been affected by a calamity, is a sufficient reason for the expiation of your sins. If, in addition to that, you have sabr and you are content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you, then your reward might be even greater than that. And this is why in other narrations, in Ibn Hibban and other books of hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a similar hadith. But in addition to what Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has mentioned here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that you will be rewarded, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record a good deed for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expiate your sins or a sin because of it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise your daraja, your rank, by one degree. So in addition to the fact that our sins are being expiated, that they are being wiped away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of this difficulty, because of this illness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes those extra, those additional, those bonus rewards for us as well. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is His fadl. This is His blessing. These are His bounties. He gives them to whomever He wishes subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are currently facing something that none of us have ever faced, regardless of our age. I don't think that anyone has ever seen the kind of measures that we are currently living in. These are difficult Firstly, for those who are infected and who get sick, for those people that are dealing with the financial difficulty and the fallout of all of these restrictions that we are currently under, whether it be travel or work, etc. But know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there's no calamity that happens to a Muslim that befalls him except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes away some of his sins because of it. And as we discussed in those other narrations, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records a good deed for you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises your rank by one degree. And the last thing that we want to mention before we end this, the explanation of this hadith, is that you hear many people saying, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a kafara for you. And there is a debate amongst the ulama as to whether or not you should say that, because if we look at the literal meaning of this hadith, you're basically asking for something that is already going to be accomplished and achieved. So it's sort of redundant, but it's still a reminder for people to understand that this is a kafara. It is a reminder to you, the person making the dua. It is a reminder to the person that is currently ill or sick, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making that illness or that sickness and that pain that they are going through as a kafara for them and for any other calamity that might be similar to it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then ends the hadith by saying, even though it were the prick he receives from a thorn. Subhanallah, even that slight pain and discomfort that you feel when you are pricked by a thorn, or you knock your toe against the table or a chair, whatever it might be, even if it's that small, that almost insignificant, it is a reason and it is a cause for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do kafara of some of our sins and to reward us and to raise our daraja, our rank. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to expiate our sins because of this calamity and this difficulty that we are in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the sick shifa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the deceased Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide those who have not believed in Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this calamity a reason for them to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in Him, worship Him alone, to believe in Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause them to die upon the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.